I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, El Salvador has gone from being one of the most dangerous nations in the world to being one of the most peaceful in Central America. But how that transformation happened presents a troubling question about its president, corruption, and the crushing of civil liberties in the pursuit of a war on massive violent gangs. Frontline PBS takes us to El Salvador. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Yesterday, a court in El Salvador began a collective trial of nearly 500 alleged gang members. This is one of the biggest mass trials under President Nayib Bukele and part of his crackdown on gang violence through controversial emergency powers. It's one trial with 500 defendants in it. Prosecutors say the charges against the alleged members of MS-13 span more than 47,000 crimes committed between 2012 and 2022, including a weekend that was El Salvador's bloodiest since its civil war. The charges include homicide, femicide, extortion, and arms trafficking. Under a state of emergency in El Salvador that took effect in 2022 and has been repeated since, and is currently in effect, security forces have detained more than 91,000 people, and El Salvador's Congress has passed a decree allowing for mass trials like this one. Human rights groups have warned that collective prosecutions violate due process and they block defendants from accessing legal counsel. The Inter-American Commission on Human Rights reiterated their concerns yesterday that there are human rights violations through the long extended state of emergency, and they've called for an end of it as a means for a crime-fighting strategy. There is a new Frontline documentary called The Deal, Trump, Bukele, and the Gangs of El Salvador. It tells the story of a political alliance between President Trump and Salvadorian President Nayib Bukele, and the crushing of civil liberties in El Salvador, including press freedoms in the nation's war on gangs. You can watch the full story, The Deal, Trump, Bukele, and the Gangs of El Salvador. It's available to view on YouTube on the Frontline channel. It's also available to watch at on the Amazon Prime PBS documentaries. It's available online streaming at the PBS app as well. With us to tell us more, we're joined by the director, Juan Ravel, and the producer, Jeff Eric, of The Deal, Trump, Bukele, and the Gangs of El Salvador. Welcome to The Source, both of you.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Dave.
So, thanks, David. Juan, tell me about this war on gangs in El Salvador. How bad was the violence at its peak?
Well, as we tell in the film, the peak in violence in El Salvador was around the time of 2015. It was very violent. It was the most violent country in the hemisphere, for sure. And gangs not only were very violent towards each other and the government, but the population itself. There was a truce between the government and the gangs around 2012, and that truce broke, and that led to a peak in violence in the years 2014, 15, 16. And the gangs control entire neighborhoods. Not only they commit crimes, but they also controlled through extortion and other means the flow of money and even the entire populations in El Salvador.
So, Jeff, the title of the documentary, The Deal, it seems like it should have been The Deals. There are so many deals and deals within deals going on in the documentary, not just the ones between Bukele and Donald Trump, but also Bukele and the gangs, and then within the gangs and trying to maintain peace, but also at a terrible cost. Your documentary asks some incredible questions. So how do you present that?
Thanks for the question. It does present a lot, and you know the true history is so much more complex than we could even fit into the film. But the starting off point of the film that we wanted to sort of offer the audience as a way into some of this history and context was probably the most famous image of the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, which is when he met with Trump in the Oval Office. And that was very early in the new Trump administration, the second Trump administration. And maybe people had seen it, maybe they remembered it. And so we wanted that deal that they were sort of solidifying and signing and celebrating in that moment to be the jumping off point to discover all of these other arrangements that had been made both between the Bukele and the Trump administration behind the scenes. And also, we partnered with the El Salvadorian outlet El Faro, who had been covering all these other deals that Bukele had made over the course of his political rise.
And you have to remember that during this handshake between Trump and Bukele in the White House, they were celebrating the past deal that they had is that the US had sent deportees to El Salvador, mostly Venezuelan men who the Trump administration claimed to be they were criminals and gang members, and they were sent to this maximum security prison in El Salvador. So that's the context of that meeting.
Right, and we do know that some of the people that were deported into that prison, some of them were not criminals. They had broken no laws in the United States. So they were, and the, but they were put in into this incredibly harsh prison environment, despite that.
Most of them reporting found that they had no criminal link or affiliations. The Trump administration has argued that crossing the border illegally is a criminal act. So that's how they debate it. But yes, most of those people were not known criminals, and are after 4 or 5 months in El Salvador, most of the Venezuelan men, were sent back to Venezuela.
So, Jeff, let's talk a little bit more about Bukele. Before he got into politics, he was in advertising and marketing. It really shows in how he has governed, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. And like many of the politicians of today, the way that they communicate is so central to their job and to the way that they are perceived. And Nayib Bukele is a very modern day politician. He w was the mayor of a small town, Nuevo Cuscatlan, in El Salvador before he then became mayor of San Salvador. And he sort of, as we explain in the film, and as El Faro has reported throughout the course of his political rise, he presents himself as a foil to the establishment because he comes from this non-political world. And it really works the same way Donald Trump presented himself as a foil to the establishment as well. And they both have sort of bombastic personalities. They're very sassy online. They're very good online. They have huge social media followings. And I think it's part of the secret sauce of these modern populist rulers that find common cause in, essentially short-term deals,
Right, and very
for.
concerned with appearances, making it seem like they're presenting solutions, but if you look deeper, you'll see that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors happening. We're going to get into that when we come back from this quick break. The number to call in if you want to tell you have a question or comment about what's happening in El Salvador and this deal that we have, that Donald Trump has with Bukele, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source comes back from a break in 1 minute. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be hearing about restaurants in Texas that are feeling the squeeze from mass deportation, the loss of labor, also the rising cost due to tariffs and other problems happening in the economy. But right now, we're talking about a new Frontline documentary, The Deal. And this is available for viewing online. On YouTube, also on the Frontlines, that's on their YouTube channel, on PBS Documentaries, on Prime Video, and also on the PBS app, talking about El Salvador, The Deal, Trump, Bukele, and the gangs of El Salvador. So the defense that we hear from Bukele, also from the Trump administration, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, is that he is finding, the president of El Salvador has found a solution to this massive violence in the streets of El Salvador, and that trumps, pardon the use of the phrase, the crushing of civil liberties. Juan Ravel, can you talk about that? Is that really the trade-off?
Well, there's many things happening at the same time. So, and one of the things we try to unpack in the film is that there's not one single truth. There's many things that are happening in different periods of time. There are many different Bukeles, and we show that in the film. As Jeff mentioned earlier, the Bukele who presented himself as an outsider, although he came from the left-wing party of FMLN, he presented himself as an outsider. He wins the election in an anti-corruption platform, and when he swears in, he establishes this Plan Control Territorial, which is a plan to control the territories and take away control from the gangs. The thing that we reveal on the film through El Faro's reporting is that dismantling and initial dismantling of the gangs and that drop in homicide rates in El Salvador from 2019 to 2022 was in part because Bukele had a deal with the gangs to lower crime. And the MS-13 and other gangs got some benefits for this. In 2022, and we show this in the film, the pact, as it was in the past, changed or broke. There was heavy violence in one weekend. More than 80 people died. And after that, Bukele instated a state of exception that is still ongoing until today. The state of exception allows suspected gang members to be detained and to be held in prisons without trial. That is the Bukele we know right now, and the Bukele who has become so popular not only in El Salvador, but abroad in Latin America as well. And the Bukele that has been embraced by the MAGA movement in the U.S. So there are very different sides of Bukele, depending on when you're asking the question.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. And Jose, you're on the air. Jose, go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question for you, gentlemen. What relationship does Bukele have with Israel in terms of, like, you know, does he collaborate with Mossad or Unit 8200? And also, what tools is he implementing in terms for surveillance purposes? Like, is he using Palantir software? Is he using the type of software that we see now here that's coming into the United States? Final question is, which countries in Central America are replicating Bukele in terms of, like, adopting his tactics and his policies?
All right, Jose, thank you for that question. Either one of you guys want to answer that question about Israel, working with Israel? I know that he's striking international deals all the time.
I have no deep understanding of his relationship with Israel, but I do understand that he is pro-Israel and hasn't criticized the war in Gaza. That's my understanding. In the question about if if other nations are replicating the Bukele model. There have been attempts, but not as full on as what Bukele has done.
It seems
Honduras
like
just,
Ecuador is definitely trying to do
yes,
just
well,
this.
yes, in South America, Ecuador is trying to replicate this. And in Honduras, they just selected a president who also used a platform of being tough on crime, but nothing as clear cut as what we have seen with Bukele. But he is very popular in the region. And
The
about the
other,
sur yeah,
oh yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to mention about the surveillance. I have no information about Palantir in El Salvador. What we do have is accounts from El Faro reporters and validated by others that they have been infected with Pegasus, this tool that governments use to spy on people's phones. And El Faro reporters have been one of the main journalists that have been infected for the longer time with this technology in the years 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, we've seen that in Mexico, that
Yes.
journalists in Mexico are being surveilled using Pegasus, which is an Israeli-developed software, no-touch software that can infect your phone and it can monitor your communications. So, you wanted to say something, Jeff?
Oh, I was just going to say that there is actually a big federal case about the Pegasus infection of El Faro phones that is ongoing. But they were making the argument essentially they had jurisdiction to file this case in the US because the Apple servers were based in the US, and they're finding some success at least in prosecuting that case here. So we'll see what the result is.
So, El Salvador had a history of a lot of corruption with presidents, looting the national treasury and making deals, also laundering money, being involved in drug cartels. Are those same sort of accusations being made against Bukele? Either one of you.
The main accusation that's been that's we explore in the film is that Bukele has made deals with the gangs, especially to lower crimes. And one of the things that ProPublica reporters found, and we interviewed from this film, is one of the reasons that the one of the things that these gang members got is that they avoided being extradited to the U.S. because as crime is dropping in El Salvador in 2019 and 2020, and there's these deals happening, the Trump administration had launched a task force led by the FBI and law enforcement to tackle MS-13's operations in the US and in El Salvador. So one of the things that Volcan was asking for at the time was the extradition from gang bosses in El Salvador so they could be sent back to the US to face charges, because some of the crimes they alleged that were committed in the US were coordinated from prison cells in El Salvador. So one of the things that we explore in the film is that these gang members are not being sent back to the US. And in one case specifically, Crook's case, which is a known leader on the MS-13, he was, according to El Faro reporting, freed from prison during that period of time.
So basically, the president of El Salvador is protecting the heads of MS-13 in order to maintain, not just maintain his fragile sort of peace that he has, but also to protect himself because he's afraid of prosecution for making these deals, Jeff.
Yes, so this is where sort of, this was the hook, I think, for me when I first was learning about this case and speaking with Oscar Martinez, who is one of the reporters we interview from El Faro, the investigative outlet in El Salvador. When the plane loads of mostly Venezuelan deportees left the United States and arrived in El Salvador to the CICOT prison, that's what a lot of people hear. Read about in news, and that was sort of their entree into this topic. What the Salvadoran journalists were seeing that day was actually quite different. What they saw was the arrival of an MS-13 leader who had been incarcerated in the U.S. This was not a an immigrant who was living in the United States. This was somebody who the United States had actually targeted for prosecution and had pursuit through the task force Vulcan that Juan mentioned. And he was on trial in the U.S. And then the Justice Department under Donald Trump wrote a letter to the judge saying, basically, dismiss the charges against this person. Now that we've become friends with Nayib Bukele, we've come to this agreement, we are going to start sending people back who he has requested. And this guy, Grenas, was the first one they sent back. And you can see him in the footage that Nayib Bukele posted to X when those flights arrived. Only the Salvadoran journalists really recognized who he was because they'd been following his exploits as a criminal for years. And that, seeing that person come back to El Salvador was quite startling to them because it meant that the U.S. was doing a 180-degree turn on his prosecution.
Juan Ravel, so what has happened to the journalist of El Faro?
Well, one thing we show in the film, and we were present with them, is that because of their reporting, they have been targeted through harassment on social media. But also, there are reports that there are warrants being prepared for their arrest, although they're not public. And when the El Faro reporters have asked the Salvadorian authorities for the status of their case, they have gotten no response, which is, in the context, a sort of response. So most of the journalists of El Faro are outside the country right now in exile, and they fear that if they return, they might go to jail. So this is one of the things that is very important for us to show the cost of this reporting.
And Jeff, so when viewers watch the documentary, what do you want them to understand about these trade-offs that have been made in El Salvador between security, democracy, and civil rights and the truth?
Well, it's important to remember that El Salvador is a very unique place. I don't think as many people like to say or like to sort of hypothesize it can be a model for many other places on Earth, just because of the extraordinary situation that they were in when the state of exception was enacted in March 2022. But the argument that the government makes made and continues to make is that it's worth some innocent people going to prison to secure the streets. And I would say probably, I think accurately, most Salvadorians agree. Now, you do lose rights, you do lose due process, and you do lose free speech a bit when you crack down, as Bukele has. I think in his discourse, those things are temporary, those things are small in comparison to what you gain. The question is, what is the long-term trajectory? In the United States, when we incarcerated tens of thousands of people in the 90s, we paid the price. You know, eventually those people do get out of prison. They weren't rehabilitated. There is absolutely no interest in rehabilitating people in Salvadoran prisons. Unless you're going to maintain, you know, for decades, all of these people in prison and pay for that, eventually these people are going to come back out of prison, and that's a long-term effect that somebody down the road is going to have to deal with.
Well, these defendants, these 500 so defendants that are happening in this one trial, you guys, this is obviously going to be a show trial, but they're looking at hundreds of years of incarceration when they're convicted. And I'm saying that, you know, not if they're convicted, it seems like a certainty there will, because this whole thing is kind of set up so that they do so. And you have to say, is this justice? Does this work? And what are the long-term implications? So The Deal, the frontline documentary, The Deal, Trump, Bukele, and the Gangs of El Salvador, telling the story of this political alliance between Donald Trump and El Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele. It's available for viewing online on YouTube. You can find it on the PBS app. You can go to the Frontline, also their website, And it's also on Amazon Prime under the PBS documentary. I want to thank you both, Juan Revell and Jeff Arick. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thank you very much.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.